Good morning. I hope you're well. I have a story. Many years ago, I think I was maybe 21 or 22 years old, I was traveling in Scotland with an Australian friend of mine, Felicia. And we were as far north as Brit Rail would let us go. We were up in Wick. Well, we wanted to find the glass blowing factory. So we asked a young man on the street, and he explained to us where we were to go. And Felicia looked at me with great dismay and confusion. So I explained to her what he had just said. And then she turned to him and asked a question. And he looked completely alarmed and had no idea what she just said. And he turned to me and I explained to him what she had just said. And there were the three of us, a Scot, an Aussie, and a Canadian, all speaking English with me in the middle as interpreter. The ability to communicate is a gift from God. Without it, we would exist in isolation, in a cold, mean world, bereft of understanding or compromise, no sharing or encouragement, no connection or relationship. Especially now, with masked faces all around us when we're out and about, we realize how much is communicated with expressions, with smiles. Language is more than words. Understanding is deeper than intellect. And the Holy Spirit of God is our source of gifting for all of it. The disciples knew this from experience. They were gathered to celebrate Pentecost. Yes, it was already known by that title all those years ago, or the Festival of Weeks, they called it, a Hebrew celebration 50 days after Passover, a time for offering burnt sacrifices of repentance to God, but also to celebrate the glory of God's goodness. And then came the Spirit, a mighty roaring wind that filled the house and touched them each with the power of God, appearing as tongues of fire. Alarming, shocking, frightening, affirming. God's definite and dramatic act to call, to commission, to equip his church. In the original sense of the term, Christ's followers, the people who form the body of Christ on earth to continue his work. When the Spirit came rushing in, were the disciples gifted with leadership or organizational skills? Were they granted deep insight or magnificent strength? Was there a surge of compassion, even, or theological genius? Though all of these things are essential to God's purposes, in this time, in this place, recorded by Luke, they were gifted with language. And they knew, in that moment, what they were meant to do with their gift. Now let's be clear, they did not begin speaking in tongues, which is not a language of this earth and is scripturally forbidden unless a God-gifted interpreter is present to avoid the confusion. These disciples were spontaneously enabled to speak the languages of other nations, as if we could suddenly converse in Hindi or Mandarin. Do you know a language or two fluently? other than English. On that same trip, when I was, as I say, 21 or 22, part of it was a tour of a few European nations, not too many, but we did get to Vatican City. And we arrived at the Museum of Vatican City. If you've never been, go. It's astounding. And as we gathered, there were probably six or eight of us that were going to travel through the museum together. One decided that she was going to go over and get one of the tour guides so that she could see what she was, read what she was looking at as she went around. Well, the selection of tour guides was a thing to behold. It had to be, I'm going to say rough guess, 5 feet high, and probably it was at least the length of our longest pew in the sanctuary. I'm going to say 12 to 15 feet at least was this display. And in each row, the pamphlets were this big, and each row there would be, as I say, 5 feet of them from top to bottom. Language after language after all of the conceivable languages in the world. So the items in the Vatican Museum could be known, could be accessible to whoever came to visit. Well, one of us among our little group went over to get a pamphlet. It was Marianne, I believe was her name, if I remember correctly. She was from Michigan. Over she went to get herself a pamphlet. She came back empty-handed. We looked at her and we said, what are you doing here? You don't have one. They must have had English. And she said, oh yeah, they had English. They didn't have American. How does it feel to be addressed in the language of your birth? Why was it so significant to the average common person in Germany in the 1500s to have a Bible in their own language? Way to go, Martin Luther. What's the big deal that in 1965 the Vatican allowed their priests to put aside Latin as the language of Mass and they could celebrate the Sacrament of Communion in the local language and dialect? Because God's Word is given for all people, not just the uniquely educated or circumstantially authoritative, but for all who seek His truth, all who want a relationship with Christ, for everyone who needs to trust in some good news. The event of Pentecost was the beginning of the worldwide Church of Christ, because the Word was never meant for one nation, for one language, for one culture. It is the living Word, expansive, life-giving, meant to break down barriers and uphold the human spirit with the assurance of forever. We cannot keep this to ourselves. However, these are strange times. I'm preaching to a camera, and God bless them. Paul and Wendy are here, and I'm very grateful. Paul brings his technical skills every week that we gather here and we film this sermon. But they both bring, at a safe distance, the gift of human connection, the gift of their warm spirits of faith. That's one thing the Spirit does when we gather here at Duff's. And this is what the Spirit will, of course, do again whenever it's safe for us to come together in our beautiful sanctuary. The Spirit speaks the languages of our heart and soul, moving within us to open up space for God, so that we may hear whatever we need, whether it's in the sermon, or a hymn, or the anthem, or a prayer. The Spirit encourages openness among and between us, actually helping us to share and to merge our spirits when we gather to worship here. The Spirit can make joy and hope and faith to be palpable for us, not concepts, not emotions, real. And therefore nurture us for the journey. That's what I deeply miss, the communion of our spirits when we come together to praise God, to hear His word, to explore this gift of faith together. This pandemic has distorted virtually all of our communications. A high percentage of human communication is nonverbal. It's in the eyes, it's in a grin, it's in a gesture, it's in a turn of the head. But we have to text or call or email. Even Zoom or Skype, as great as they are, we can see one another. It doesn't feel quite the same as being together in the same room. Our visual cues are missing from a great deal of our communication these days. Add to that the tension of these times, and we end up making assumptions to fill in the blanks, and misunderstandings are popping up all over the place. At one point this past week, I was on the church phone to a caller. I had my emails open, and I was texting to my next appointment to alter the time. Was that good communication? Was I giving anyone the attention they deserve, or the intention of my goodwill or compassion or care? At Pentecost, the Spirit of God came to gift us with the power to communicate, with God's power to communicate His word, empowering us to talk about God's love and grace with God's love and grace. Pentecost is as much about the gifting and the content of our communication as it is about the intention of our words. It's not merely about having the right words in the correct language. This is about being right with God in our hearts. Attentive to His wisdom, to His ways, and then the words will flow. I need this reminder every day. The Spirit may not set fire to your hair, but God is as close to you and to me as our very next breath. His power is available to us. So happy Pentecost. Amen. As we come to prayer, I have an announcement to make. There's been a change here at Duff's. Our parish nurse, K, Karen Harding, has decided to resign her position. But she's sent a message. These are Karen's words. "It was a difficult decision, but I need to do what's best for my family and for myself. If people have questions about their personal information, please contact her. She wanted us to know it's been an honor and a pleasure to work alongside everyone. We are not able to celebrate Karen's ministry as we normally would with a public show of our affection and appreciation, and definitely a cake. Hopefully that time will come. For now, say a prayer of thanks for Karen, for all the work that she's done here, for all that she's meant to each and every one of us. Keep all the others in your prayers. So many names, so many situations. Hold them close in your thoughts and offer them up to God. Let's pray together. Sacred Spirit of our creating God and our redeeming Christ, in the midst of another week of joys and worries, we pause to consider the scope of your goodness in our lives. Safe, comfortable homes, a secure supply of food and clothes for every season, a secure supply of food, devoted friends and gracious loved ones, prayers answered through your affirming love, prayers seemingly unanswered according to your better wisdom. Guide our hearts to beat with gratitude for your gifts of earth and sea, for the exceptional freedoms that we enjoy, and the collective willingness of Canadians to act for the protection of others. We pray for those oppressed and forgotten, that they'll feel your courage and persevere with hope. We ask for you, Lord, to bless our world leaders with vision and compassion to end systemic injustice and greed, to focus on fair resolutions, and to commit to peace. Every day, our companion God, we hear the numbers of loss. We hear about discrimination and ignorance, about natural disasters and violent eruptions. Help us to remember that every statistic is a person, loved and mourned. That every brief news item is impacting lives. That every distant event is intensely personal to someone, and they may never be the same. We pray for the will to be attentive, for the faith to face hard news without discouragement, for the spirit-directed energy to make a positive difference where we can, for the grace to accept the mysterious ways that life unfolds, and to seek your strength in all things. Hear our private prayers for the people and situations that fill our thoughts. We trust that you're aware of our every need, and we rely on you to respond with inspiration and guidance. In the name of our Redeemer and our friend Jesus Christ, we pray all things. Amen. And now let us go in his peace. Let us go with courage. Let us go with hope. Let us go with his word in our hearts and on our lips. May the grace of God, the redeeming mercy of Jesus Christ, and the sustaining fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each and every one of us and all whom we love, today and always. And together, all the people said, wherever you are,